going on? This is Toki and Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello again, welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. We're here on Saturday morning before the Spurs game, after the disastrous game last night and the unfortunate blowout loss to the Pacers at home, with the great basketball historian on the line, Tim Gallagher. Tim, how you doing, my man?
Hey, Fred. Yeah, it's Veterans Day, so quick little shout-out to all those that have served our country and are serving our country. And while we're not perfect in this country, there's certainly a lot we have to be thankful for, and the freedoms of things we get to enjoy. So thanks to the vets.
Absolutely. Can't thank them enough, starting with my brother, who's been in the military for, I think, almost over 20 years now. So shout out to him and to everyone who has served and is currently serving. So great to start out the show with that. But on to the beloved Bull. Tim, love to get your take on the topic at hand, which I want to start out with, is everyone's saying we should trade Lopez. We need to trade Lopez because when Levine comes back, this team is going to be too good. I differ. I believe that trading Lopez would have a detrimental effect on Markkanen's development. I think he's so important for Markkanen. He helps him on the defensive end because Lopez is rock solid defensively and Markkanen's still learning, so he'll always take that tougher inside assignment. I think he's a good enough shooter that he opens up the floor a little bit for him to drive or to post up. I think if Lopez left this team, you would just see the big man who's ever guarding Felicio just hang around the rim and double anytime Markkanen gets a nice mismatch there where he's able to, you know, get the ball in the post. I just think it would have catastrophic results if you traded him for Markkanen's development. What say you? Do you agree, disagree, or do you feel like, you know, maybe we do need to trade him in order for this team to fully tank?
Well, I agree with you. I think he being Lopez, has been a solid rock with this team. And the season's going about how I expected. And I'm obviously eager to see how Levine performs when he comes back. But I'm not seeing that his addition is going to flip the switch and now the Bulls are going to, you know, make a run at being a 500 team. I just don't see that happening. So I don't think they're going to become quote unquote too good to you know, to be out of the picture for a, you know, a top five pick. So I'm not that optimistic on Levine, although eager to see how he does. And as we talked about at the beginning of the season in the preview, the season's kind of going as I hoped it would go for the Bulls. Now obviously their one loss record as a Bulls fan is discouraging. However, other than the OKC game and then the game last night against Indiana, they've really been competitive in all the rest of those games. And you know, maybe not competitive in the sense that, you know, this is a game they should have, could have won, but until at least the last few minutes of the game, they were in the game. And I was hoping that would be the case for the development of the young guys like Markkanen in particular, which we'll get to him shortly, Valentine and some of the young second and third year guys too that are still in development. So, you know, I was kind of hoping that if they're in games, competitive in games, and not getting blown out like the two games we mentioned, that's going to be a good balance for them to develop and retain some level of confidence and competitiveness and still be in the picture for one of the high picks. So I think a key thing of the development of these young guys is to have some veteran presence, stability, leadership, and Lopez has really shown that. And you know, there was a recent story that I know you retweeted about how Markkanen has really looked to Lopez as a mentor and, you know, kind of show him the ropes both on and off the court. And so without him, you're gonna lose a lot of that, and I think also lose some of the competitiveness with the team. So I'm in favor of keeping him. Now, at some point later in the season, if there's another team in the league making a playoff run or maybe seeing that they can move up a spot or two or make a run to get to the finals and would give up a high first round pick or you know, an asset that's really, really desirable, then maybe look at it at that point. But I think it's a little early to make a move with him.
Yeah, I'd counter that the Bulls for the first, you know, 4 or 5 games were without four rotation players. I don't care if you're Golden State. If you're missing four rotation players, you're not going to win. You know, you're going to lose games. And right now, even, you know, you lose David Nwaba. Nico still isn't back. You don't have LaVine. You're missing three rotation players. So you're missing significant players or parts or pieces to this team. And just my opinion, I think when these guys come back and they're healthy, they're going to be a lot better. I think they are going to win some games. And I think it is good right now that they're losing these games. Because big picture, we need a top five draft pick going into next season. I do feel, however, that this can be a one-year turnaround. I really feel that if the Bulls get another high draft pick and also take advantage of their cap space with some smart signings that keep on, you know, throwing out some names like Avery Bradley or Covington from the Sixers, or there's a lot of Noel possibly, bringing in a really nice piece, you could turn this around and immediately have a playoff team built around the three young guys or four, and Markkanen, LaVine, Dunn, and whoever that draft pick is. I mean, Dunn is showing signs to me right now, and I thought he had a fantastic game last night with 16 points, 4 steals, too many turnovers, or 3 steals he might have had, but he's playing excellent basketball, and you're seeing why he was a top pick and what all the hype was about. So I do feel like this team could be really good next year, and I think Lopez is young enough and important enough that you do need him. If you're looking, and he could easily transition into a part of a piece, you know, a piece of a young team that is challenging in 3 or 4 years, right? I feel like the Bulls, if they come up with another home run in this next draft, can actually compete for a title in 2020 or 2021 in 3 years. It's not that long and it's not that unheard of. So I would like to see, I've kind of turned on this and say, if you want to tank, well, you can do that by managing minutes, but I'm not for giving up Robin Lopez for a second-round pick. 9 out of 10 of those don't even work. Or even a late first-rounder. The vast majority of those don't even work out. So I'd rather keep him. I just think he's so important as a rock star interior defender that you'll be, if you get rid of him, we'll be looking for a piece like him for 3 or 4 years.
I agree, and I've always been a Robin Lopez fan, and I've been surprised he's bounced around as much as he has in the league, because mm-hmm. you know, he was on some pretty solid teams with Portland and Phoenix, and you know, and we've seen now in a year plus with Chicago, just he's a rock solid guy, right? And
yeah.
His teammates love him, and when you've got young players like we talked about, guys like him are hard to find, right? Where even through the losing, he plays hard. You can count on him night after night. And the fact that Markkanen sees him as a mentor, you know, even though it's only, you know, 10 or so games into his career, we see what the trajectory could be for someone like Markkanen. And if this is something making him happy, you know, having Lopez at his side, let's roll with it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he's 29. He'll be 30 on April 1st. But I feel like his game is the kind of game, it's not dependent on athleticism, really massively dependent on athleticism. He's kind of a crafty player that I could still see being effective at the age of 34 or 35, you know, before it goes downhill. But, you know, so I still think he has, you know, 4 or 5 good more years, and I'd like to see him kind of shepherd these young guys into from pretender to contender. But
right. So what do you make of how well Portis has played the 2 games he's been back? He's incredible. Playing out of his mind.
Yeah, incredible. So, yeah, let's get on to that topic, because I think this is such a unique situation. Obviously, Nico said it's either him or us, and then I don't think he expected Bobby to come in and just shoot what he would average 20 points and shoot 50% from 3, 50% from the field, and just be a, you know, force of nature out there for the vast majority of the time he was out on the court in both games. I mean, he's exactly what I remember. I'll never forget when we drafted him. You thought he could be a big shot Rob Horry. That was your comparison to him, And yes. I'm starting to see it now. I could actually see him. He shoots the ball so well at some points. I thought in the second half of last season, you saw in that first game against the Celtics, he really does have a nice outside jumper. Maybe he can be that. And that would be a nice piece to come off the bench. And maybe Bobby Portis is a part of this team. But what about Nico? I'd like your opinion on this whole situation.
Right. Well, it's really an odd circumstance, right, where I guess what's the relationship with Nico and Portis? Can they be teammates? Have they patched things up? Is it something that they can move forward with? I mean, the way Portis is playing, I guess there's two ways to look at it. Either, wow, he's got some talent and some upside and some things that we – and, again, it's a small sample size. But, you know, he showed signs last year. We've talked many times about, you know, again, it wasn't game in and game out and consistent over the course of the season. But he showed enough flashes last year that I thought, you know, okay, this is the guy that, you know, was a big talent in the SEC and a steal for the Bulls to get where they got him and, you know, could be a young piece of a rebuilding situation. So I feel terrible that Nico, you know, got injured in that way and has missed the games, but I've never been a Nico fan. I just think he's too inconsistent. And, you know, I think what the Bulls were hoping for a player like him was kind of like what we're seeing from Markkanen. Obviously Nico wasn't drafted at that high of a level, but I just don't see Nico ever being consistent enough or being a good enough decision maker to be a long-term piece. And, you know, they were able to re-sign him at a, you know, at a pretty reasonable amount. So, and of course the way Portis has played, I would, despite the Portis is the one that threw the punch, you know, at this moment, I'd obviously go with Portis over Nico if it was, you know, if either he goes or I go kind of thing. That's where I see it.
No, I agree completely. I think Nico, I love how we have these Nico defenders, these always saying, well, as soon as he goes to somewhere else and he gets great coaching, you know, he's going to be great. I'm just like, are you not? You forget he played under the greatest regular season coach of all time, Tom Thibodeau. He shot 40% and 31% from three and was awful in the playoffs under Tom Thibodeau. So to act like all of a sudden, and now under Fred, he had his best year under Fred, which was his second year as a Bull, when he shot 39% from three. I thought he had a really nice year overall and kind of was a little bit understated how I thought pretty well he played. But last year he sucked again. He's completely inconsistent. I compare him, I think he's the Euro Jeff Green, not in the game, but in the way that you hear so many people talk about how talented and how great Jeff Green is. And everywhere he goes, he never fulfills what he was supposed to be. He's just a disappointment everywhere, and losing often follows too. And you can't depend on Nico Mirotić. He's so, you know, utterly, to me, his biggest strength has to be shooting the basketball and extending and opening up the floor. And he doesn't shoot it nearly as well as he should. End of story.
Right. Yeah, I thought earlier in his career, I was hoping he, you know, his ceiling would maybe be like a Gallinari, you know, that's now in the Clippers and had some pretty solid years with Denver. You know, but obviously much more consistent than Nico, much more a better decision maker, and I just don't see Nico getting to that level. So I don't know what his market value is in terms of what kind of asset you could get for him, but. My vote goes to Portis at this point for a couple of different reasons.
I'd like to ask you a little bit about another player in the Bulls that is just frustrated me to no end this year, Cristiano Felicio, who I think has regressed to the point I'm like shocked. This is this, you know, the same guy you saw some flashes from, but you really expected him to me. I expected him to develop somewhat of an offensive game. He's developed nothing. He doesn't shoot outside of 4 feet. He's awful, and he's running around there, you know, again in his what, third year, like he's a toddler looking for his binky. He's just been awful to me on both sides of the court. I don't think he plays hard enough. He's a fouling machine. What's your take on Felicio, and why does he suck so bad?
Well, his development has been disappointing. He had shown some flashes, and I never saw him as anything more than a backup to, you know, to give some spot minutes, and if he stayed out of foul trouble, maybe an athletic play here or there, you know, a block shot, a dunk in transition, you know, something like that, just to to give the team a little bit of a spark. But yes, his development has been disappointing. I mean, I really think his minutes, at this point would go to Portis, or he play Zipser, more inside if you go small. So yeah, I don't know really what his long term value is, but yeah, I wouldn't see him as part of the plans, and has been disappointing even in the limited role I was hoping he could fulfill as a backup. So it's still a relatively young guy, but hasn't made that jump, right, of improvement, where I've seen some things. I know Valentine's not shooting a great percentage, but I've seen enough. And I think Valentine's one of those guys that maybe isn't going to be a high percentage shooter, but I think he's going to be a timely big shot kind of guy, throughout his career. And, so I've seen some flashes from him. Obviously, Portis is, I don't think he's going to sustain a 20-point-a-game average in these shooting percentages, but, he's shown that he can stretch the defense, and with, a front line of Lopez, Markkanen, and Portis is, that's a decent young front line. And again, you supplement that with hopefully a high pick, like a Porter Jr. or a Miles Bridges or something. You've got a core of a pretty talented and young front line.
Yeah, I think Valentine, I'm really high on Valentine. I kind of feel I'm alone on Valentine Island, that I think he can be an all-star. I think he's got that talent. He was shooting over 40% for the vast majority of the season. Had a horrible game last night where he was 1-10, and now he's down to 38.6. But anything at 38% or above, especially if it's 40%, is great. And if Valentine develops into a plus three-point shooter, well, in today's game, that's a guy you want on your team. And I think he's starting to get more comfortable and starting to facilitate. He's got to play with shooters, though. He's got to have people to open up the court, and I think he's going to make the right decision there. A guy I've been disappointed in is Paul Zipser. I think he's been terrible this season. He's shooting 31% from the field, 26% from three. Those are just atrocious numbers. I think he's been terrible on both ends of the court. I think he's a little bit of a step slow. To me, the guy is... This season to me is to also identify guys who I don't want on the core going forward. And I don't think he's a guy that's in a rotation of a good team. He might be on the end of the roster, but I don't see enough out of him that I want him on a good team. I also feel the same way about Jerry and Grant. Let's get your comments on Zipser before we go into Grant.
Right. Well, Zipser kind of stunned me last year how productive he was. As a second round pick, and he was playing well even in the playoffs, I just really didn't see that coming. And we talked about it quite a bit last year, where I thought he was on the floor getting minutes well before he'd earned those kind of minutes. But, generally he delivered. But this year it's kind of been the flip of that. And I don't know if he's, it kind of shows what a gap there is between a guy like him and a guy like Markkanen. And, obviously where they were picked in the draft, that makes some sense. But, I was hoping he'd show a little more consistency. I don't see him as a long-term centerpiece either. I was hoping as a role player and, kind of a dirty work, versatile, play a little three, little four type of thing. But, yeah, he's been a disappointment as well, I would say, along with Felicio. There hasn't been a step up that you would hope that they would build on the trajectory of their careers.
Yeah. What about, to me, Jerry and Grant? I consider him to be the biggest disappointment on this team. I didn't expect him to get as much playing time as he had. I see him at best to be a backup point guard, and there's people talking, he's a combo guard, he's a shooting guard. He's not nearly big enough to be a shooting guard. He's not good enough defensively. What he needs to be able to do is be a guy to hit shots. He's shooting 32% from the field, 16% from three. 16%! And he's top five or top four on the team in attempts. You can't have a guy shooting 16%. I mean, these numbers are basically as awful as he was in the playoffs. He's just continued at this level. And I know he's getting assist numbers, but I don't care. He's sucked, and he hasn't been good defensively. And the, to me, the biggest frustration with Jerian Grant is he doesn't recognize quickly enough mismatches. On pick and rolls with Markkanen, Markkanen is constantly, or Lopez, constantly getting a smaller man in the post, and he doesn't get the ball to him immediately. It takes too long, or it doesn't even come at all. He's a horrible basketball player. I don't even think he's an NBA player anymore. I've seen enough in 10 games to say this guy doesn't belong in the league. I don't know other what he's why he's qualified other than being Horace Grant's nephew and going to Notre Dame. That's, to me, the only two things I can identify as why he's still on in an NBA roster.
Right. Well, I think everyone has to agree that he's not the long-term solution at point guard, even long-term solution for this season. I think the job is right there for Dunn, or when LaVine gets healthy, I'm assuming one of those guys is going to take over a lot of those minutes. You know, once Dunn starts showing some progress, and you're right, last night there were some signs. You know, I'm a little concerned about Dunn on the offensive end as well, but I think long term, I think he has more NBA talent than Grant does. I've been frankly surprised Grant has gotten the minutes he's gotten this year, and you know, and the numbers. I kind of joked with you, I think, in a note that you know, Lonzo Ball and Grant are probably the worst two shooting point guards in the league. You know, I mean, obviously the numbers are showing and proving that. So, although there's a lot more riding on Lonzo Ball's future than Grant, you know, Grant's, you know, probably thankfully he's not playing in the G League right now. But my thought is that once LaVine gets back and Dunn kind of gets more integrated into the system, that Grant's minutes are gonna fall pretty significantly. Do you see that with LaVine's return?
I hope so. I don't understand why he's continually played more than Dunn. Like, I understand Dunn has an issue with turnovers, but I don't see how you can watch a Bulls game and not see this. Dunn has insane amount of talent. He's already much better defensively. Like, I don't even think there's – the only guy who can approach him as a perimeter defender is Nwaba. He's so good defensively. And his issue has been turnovers, and he's not a great shooter. I don't think he shot the ball horribly. He's definitely not shot it worse than Grant. Like, I don't understand. And I think he's a better passer. He's definitely a better penetrator. I just feel like if this season's about growth and getting better – and let's live with the growing pains. I want Dunn playing 34 minutes a game, and I want Grant playing 5 or whatever, you know. And yesterday he's got Kay Felder in the game. It's like, why is Kay Felder playing? Kay Felder he shouldn't be playing. You know, he's like Kevin Hart. He's not a good basketball player. He's too small, and he shouldn't be playing basketball. Right. He's not good enough. He, you know, 31% from is what he's shooting from the field. 25%. From the from three, and I know I harp on field goal percentages, but they're extremely important in today's game. You have to be a threat, because if you don't do anything else well, like Kay Felder, if you're not a power defensively, you better shoot the ball, and he doesn't do it. And I'm frustrated with Fred this year. I don't know what he's doing with these rotations. I don't know why Grant's played so much. I don't know why he's asked Holiday to take a step back and firing up these shots. I mean, Holiday's shooting incredible amount of attempts this season. He's got to be leading the team. I don't know, I have the numbers in front of me, but I'm certain he is in attempts. And he's shooting 36% and 33% from three. He's shooting way too much. You know, this is Markkanen's team. And if you haven't figured that out yet, you better, because if you don't start realizing you better facilitate passes to Markkanen and getting him more shots, then you're not going to be on this team next year. And I think Holiday has a spot on the team as a backup. Like, I want to see the Bulls to upgrade at that position next year and have him come off the bench. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But he's become Ron Mercer second, just chucking it up. I don't understand what this is. You know, what do you feel about Holiday?
What's the time frame for LaVine's return?
Well, right now I've been reading that, I mean, he could come back as early as December 1st. Okay. So he'll be ready. I mean, I think he's almost ready now, right? But if I'm the Bulls, I would push that back as far as you can. I'd probably say, you know, January 1st, let's push that back. And when he comes back, I'm really excited about the potential of one lineup, which would be starting with LaVine, starting with Nwaba, starting with Dunn, And then at center position, Lopez, and having Markkanen at power forward. What I like about that lineup is three incredibly athletic guards, or and a small forward that could switch almost interchangeably on the perimeter, which I think is what you want to see. And then you got Markkanen, who can also extend the floor and allow the two best penetrators on the team, which is Levine and Dunn, to take advantage of the lanes. And Lopez is also a great defender interior. You know, I think defensively that lineup has the potential to be really good. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yep. I agree. I like that. And
you have Valentine, the first guy off the bench, or he could potentially start and have Nwaba come off the bench. I really like Nwaba. I felt so awful after he hurt his ankle. What did you think of that kid? What's your take on him?
Yeah, well, when we did our preseason preview, I talked about him a little bit, and you know, I compared him a little bit to like a Patrick Beverley. You know, where he's a little raw, but his toughness and, you know, defensive ability and athleticism, I just think he's the kind of guy, especially on a team that's going to struggle for wins, but you want to be competitive in every game. You know, I think I really like the acquisition for that reason, right? And
yeah.
And maybe he could evolve into a, you know, a rotation guy or occasional starter, like, you know, again, like a Patrick Beverley, who's not, you know, as polished of a basketball player, right? But he's kind of made himself into at least a decent outside shooter, and you know, he's going to compete and kind of get under the other team's skin just due to his intensity.
Yeah, no, I agree. And one more thing I wanted to mention about Grant. I mean, whatever the point guard is for the future, the most frustrating thing I find about Grant is his passes to shooters. I don't know how many times he's thrown a pass to Markkanen and is wide open on a three-point line at his shins. You know, playing basketball, you have to get that pass on the chest in a position for the shooter not to lose the rhythm. And just having it a little bit too low or at the shins is enough to really take a shooter out of his rhythm and to miss shots. And the Bulls, to me, this goes back 4 or 5 years, have been awful at recognizing these mismatches. And I could tolerate it when it was, you know, Jimmy Butler, who just ignored it just because he wanted to get his points, or Wade, you know, because they had the pedigree. When Grant doesn't recognize a mismatch, it's inexcusable. And this whole team in general, I think, needs to realize that they have to find a way, and Fred needs to take responsibility for this. They have to find a way to get Markkanen more shots. He's not shooting enough. What's your take on him now? I mean, in all these games, 10 games, you know, the kid's shooting 42%, 36%. Do you feel this kid can really become one of those transformative stars that you could build around? Or do you feel that 1A player still needs to be found in next year's draft?
Well, I don't want to put it all on Markkanen's shoulders, but he's been very, very impressive so far, and not just with the shooting, but you know, being able to put the ball on the floor, and you know, I think he's shown some versatility. I'm out here on the West Coast, and I've harped a lot on how good the Pac-12 was last year, and that when we've talked about the Bulls acquiring Markkanen on draft day, and how well I thought he played. I thought he was arguably the player of the year in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. Which was a great, great league. And you see guys that were kind of almost afterthoughts in the draft, like Kyle Kuzma and Dylan Brooks, playing very well this into the NBA season. And those guys were, you know, not even in the running for player of the year. And or even in Kuzma's case, you know, I don't think he was even first team all conference. So I thought Markkanen was as good as anyone in that league. And you know, at an elite level competition. So you know, the guys at Oregon, the guys at UCLA, top-notch guys.
Fultz,
doing well. I just wondered that with the surrounding pieces with the Bulls, was he going to even be able to get space to get shots, right? And it's been helpful that you know at times Valentine been there. Portis has shown some things these first few games. So despite kind of weak point guard play, Markkanen has kind of a little bit outperformed what I was expecting, but I'm not shocked by it. And you know, I think they still need another key piece in the draft, obviously, to build around him. But so far, I mean, I can't really find any fault with how Markkanen has delivered at this point.
Tim, I'm going to name four teams, and I want you to tell me which of these four is surprising you the most with their success. Detroit, who's 9-3, second in the East. Orlando, 8-4, third in the East. New York, the Knicks are 6-5, currently seventh in the East. And the other team I had was, Memphis. Memphis is 7-4, fourth in the West. Out of those four teams, which team has surprised you the most so far with the start?
I would have to say Detroit, just because I didn't have them as a playoff team. I had them kind of in the ninth spot, maybe in the playoffs, and you know they seemed to have some chemistry issues last year. And but I think that was a pretty shrewd acquisition of Avery Bradley. And I think Stan Van Gundy's a very competent coach, and he's had success a couple of different places. But I didn't really see that coming, so to speak, in terms of how well they're doing. There seemed to be some issues with Reggie Jackson last year, and I know there were some of were injury issues, but just so that would be a little surprising. You know, with Orlando, I've always respected Frank Vogel as a coach, but it seemed like the mix of players that the Magic had were just a little off or a little funky. I'm not a big Elfrid Payton guy as a point guard. But, you know, Drew Gordon seems to have found a little bit of an outside shot. I'm sorry, Aaron Gordon. Drew Gordon was his brother. A little slip there. But Aaron Gordon seems to have found a little bit of a consistent shot. We'll see how sustainable some of this is. It's still a little bit early. But I would say those two are the most surprising. You know, with New York, Porzingis is developing into a superstar. I think getting Phil Jackson out of the front office, finally moving Carmelo. I think that it's allowed the team to kind of move on and, you know, maybe breathe a little bit in terms of, where they're headed, what direction they're headed. So to kind of unburden themselves of Phil Jackson in the front office. And there's been talk of moving Carmelo now for years. And so that, you know, that kind of just cleared the air, I think. Not surprised really by Memphis. Just I talked about in my preseason preview that you got centerpieces like Marc Gasol and Michael Conley, and you have a coach like Fizdale who earned his stripes in the Miami Heat organization and was very selective in terms of what franchise he would go to. You know they're going to compete and defend, and you've got a couple of star, all-star, superstar level guys. I'm not surprised by them playing well.
What's going on with the wrap this up? First of all, I can't tell you how much I appreciate jumping on the Bullseye and sharing your knowledge with us. But to wrap this up, I would like to get your take on the Lakers and what's going on with that team. I find that team fascinating, not only because, it's the Lakers. They're one of the premier franchises, but I think there's a lot of potential for the Bulls to potentially make a deal to hopefully get one of their pieces in order for them to clear up room in order to sign LeBron next year, which, you know, depending on what happens in Cleveland, I think is a possibility. Now I hear Randall wants out because he's coming off the bench. Let's talk Nico for Randall or, whatever. But let's start out with Lonzo Ball. What's your take on his sad start or unfortunate start and why he's playing so badly?
Right. Well, I think there's a couple things going on. One is just... And I've been a big Lonzo Ball fan through the years in terms of his, seeing him play out here on the West Coast in person a number of times in high school, as well as quite a few times in person at UCLA. Just his leadership and ability to move the ball, pass the ball. You know, his shot was always funky and got some criticism, but his percentages at UCLA were pretty decent. And kind of like what I described in Denzel Valentine, where maybe he's not a high percentage shooter, but he's a big shot shooter, timely and clutch situations. Well, Lonzo obviously is not making many shots in any circumstances, which you know, the percentage is so alarmingly low, there's no way to defend it. I'd say the one thing that, you know, maybe kind of excuses his lack of success so far is just, I don't think it's a great team around him. You know, you look at the two veteran guys, and we just spent some time talking about Robin Lopez and how important it is to have a kind of a solid rock guy that's going to help these young guys know how to go about their business. Well, with the Lakers, those two guys would be Brook Lopez, coincidentally, Robin's brother, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But, you know, I looked at those guys' backgrounds, and between the two of them, they've played in 17 playoff games combined, right? And neither has won a playoff series. So, you know, to just have a winning culture, and I know Magic Johnson and Pelinka in the front office are talking about it, Luke Walton's talking about it, but you really don't have veteran players that are in the rotation that have kind of been there, done that, right? And then you've got young guys like Lonzo, like Ingram, like Randall, that are just, you know, they're just so young and so raw, right? It's such an intense and competitive league. They're going against guys that are killers, right? In terms of, you know, there's no mercy for a guy that's really not ready and doesn't know how to, you know, how to compete and win. And these guys are so young that they just really haven't had a chance to do it. Not really even in college, right? They were just in college for a cup of coffee. So I didn't have the Lakers as a playoff team. I'm very disappointed that Lonzo's shooting percentage is so poor. I'd like to see him push the ball a little bit more. And, you know, people are kind of starting to push the panic button a little bit. And, you know, there's a lot of people rooting for him to fail just because of the whole scene with his dad and his brothers and that whole thing. A lot of people, very understandably, you know, think that's just too much, right? Focus on playing and winning and then tell us about it, right? Where this is kind of flipped, where all the promotion has happened before there's really been anything accomplished. So it's an interesting scenario. And I think the Lakers, they're going into play at Milwaukee tonight, which I think is going to be, you know, very, very tough with the way Antetokounmpo is playing and Bledsoe. So I think it's going to be a long season for the Lakers, and for them to make any kind of leap in the short run, it's going to have to come through acquisition in the offseason. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of speculation, and some sources are telling me that LeBron is coming, you know, regardless of what story is being put out there, that next season he'll be a Laker. So
really?
obviously that'll help turn things around in a hurry. But what other components stay or also come along in off-season acquisitions, we'll see.
So your sources are telling you he is coming?
Yes.
Wow. Well, yeah, things are not going well in Cleveland, that's for sure. They have, yeah, I still think they're going to probably be a representative of the East, but I don't see them beating Golden State. But, you know, they couldn't be much of a worse start. I would like to touch on that briefly. What is going on? You know, why are they so awful to begin this season? I say that, and then I saw in the second quarter against Houston, you know, a glimpse of what they can be, with how well LeBron looked and J.R. Smith and, you know, some of the guys on that team really played well. But what is the issue?
Well, you know, trying to band-aid it together with Derek, two players that the Bulls fans know quite well, right? Derek Rose and D. Wade. I just don't know how sustainable it is with their injury history and or age, right? I just don't know, you know, how you can night in and night out when you're competing against teams on the rise with younger talent. You know, and obviously those guys have had Hall of Fame type careers, all, you know, for the most part. Certainly Wade has. I don't know if Rose is quite at that level.
No way.
Certainly, you know, he was an MVP though 1 year and on a certain trajectory. So I think it's age. I think it's, you know, kind of piecing together, you know, guys like Tristan Thompson, you know, wearing down due to injury, you know, guys like Korver are older and, I just don't know. I mean, you give up a guy like Kyrie, and you see what he's doing in Boston already. The tricky thing with Cleveland is it's so hard to count them out, right? Because they've got LeBron, and you know, are they just kind of biding their time? And when it's time to make their move, they've proven, you know, over the last couple seasons that when the time comes, that they'll be ready. Which I've doubted them a bit over the last couple seasons, but with LeBron, it's so hard to, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, when they're down and out, despite all the issues. Now, defensively, I don't know the statistic off the top of my head, but you know, this little run they've had in terms of points allowed is one of the, you know, one of the worst stretches in, you know, in decades in the league. So they're giving up a lot of points. So I just don't know how you can flip the switch and think you're going to get to the finals when there's teams that are, you know, that are going to be merciless when they are trying to face you. Now, I would say the Wizards have been a disappointing team as well, and I guess I kind of overrated them a bit in terms of where I thought they'd be. They've been a big disappointment for me, even though they're right around 500. And from what I've seen of them, their depth is really concerning. And
no doubt.
And obviously, Wall and Beal are talented, but when you look at the rest of that roster, I probably overrated that a little bit with Otto Porter and Gortat and Morris. I don't know. That's not a finals level team. So yeah. despite the injuries with Cleveland and Boston and the vulnerability they've shown a little bit, although Boston has almost kind of turned into like the Spurs East in terms of just their culture and interchangeable parts and Stevens, and they seem to be weathering Hayward's injury just fine. And I know Kyrie got clobbered last night accidentally and made this game or two to due to concussion protocol, but I would say he's got to be MVP of the league so far if you'd had to, you know, use this small sample size as the basis for handing out awards at this point of the season.
Speaking of MVPs, and to wrap this up, because I got to head out after this one, Tim, but again, thanks for joining the Bullseye. Last question, the Bledsoe to Milwaukee trade. Does this make Milwaukee a legitimate contender?
I think they're still maybe a year or two away from that. You know, as great as Antetokounmpo's playing, you know, they still seem like they're not quite there. I mean, when I'm talking about contender, you're saying make it to the finals. I don't see them quite at that level yet. I think we'll have to see what happens when Jabari Parker comes back. I think that's a key component to give them another, you know, offensive weapon. But I think there's some depth issues as well. But he sure looked good last night, Bledsoe, I'm talking about, against San Antonio, and Antetokounmpo's putting up, you know, crazy numbers. And I think he's still learning and, you know, certainly one of the more intriguing talents. So I would not say this makes them a contender. I could see them, you know, possibly getting to the, you know, Eastern Conference semifinals, but I don't see them getting to the finals just yet. But if they keep a core together of these young guys, if Parker comes back healthy, I think in a year or two, I think that would be very, very reasonable to expect.
Great. Tim, thanks a lot for joining the Bullseye. Let's hope the Bulls keep it somewhat competitive tonight. And by the time anyone hears this, we'll know the result of that game. But I just hope they keep it competitive, and I hope they lose. We got to keep on racking up L's to get one of those top five for next year. And the next podcast, let's definitely talk, revisit those top five players on your list, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for next year's draft. Because it's something we should rank it.
The four U.S. college players all had their debuts last night, and other than Porter Jr. only played a minute or two due to an injury. It doesn't look like a major injury, but they elected to sit him out. But Bagley, Ayton, and Bridges looked fantastic last night. Then the fifth of our group is, of course, Doncic, who's a Euro player. So, yes, we'll keep watching the progress of those guys.
Sounds great. Tim, have a good one, my man. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, Fred. Thank you. You too.
Talk to you soon.